Severin, Illinois State Representative. David, it's good to see you again, buddy.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Glad to be here.
You know, that lead story we were running this morning about the election, every state representative, you know, is up for re-election or every 2 years.
Right.
And but you were an excellent example. You know, you met somebody in the primary, and that's where your election was this year.
That's correct. And so honored to and humbled to have won that that election, and then of course unopposed today. And but you know, as I was driving down, I thought about something that you and I talked about the last few years. That as I was shaving this morning, looking in the mirror, and you know, what are you going to do today to stay relevant, Severin?
Yep.
And so it's important that we stay focused here in Southern Illinois, representatives and senators, that we're working for our constituents, working for the betterment of Southern Illinois and the state of Illinois, and standing up for our Southern Illinois values.
All right. Yeah, I was talking to Toni McCombie. I think she bristled a little bit whenever I said, you know, can Republicans return to relevance? And she says, we are relevant.
Right.
You know, we're in every county representing those people.
Yes, sir.
But you and I both get it there, too.
Yes, sir.
You know, Dave and I were on the phone Friday, and I had called him about something that I know he had been working on. This professional licensing, and it's very slow responses to people's requests, I think, is one way to put it. But people, you know, pretty upset, and some even saying, well, I'm not going to make it to Illinois. I can't even get my license moved there.
Yeah.
There's at least some change here.
There is a glimpse of hope and a bright light that we're hoping to get to shine brighter. But I wanted to say this, that, you know, for the last few years, people would call my office about FOID cards and concealed carry. I mean, people were calling literally, you know, the phones ringing off the wall. We still get those calls, but you know what the number one phone call is now?
No.
This. People can't get their license. They've sent their money in. They're either to get their initial license for nursing, for a doctor coming to the state of Illinois. Just all different kinds of license they need. So one of them is they can't get their license or the renewal. And so literally our offices, we have an office in Benton, we have an office in Mount Vernon, and my staff do a great job. We have a great relationship with the people in Springfield. But that's the number one call that we get, Tom, and not just one or two calls a week. I'm talking about on a regular basis. And the other thing, too, is we've worked really hard to get the word out that, hey, if you are having trouble getting your license, getting them renewed, give us a call and we'll advocate for you. And it's literally, that's the number one thing. You know, I don't talk about politics in church. Someone came up to me after church Sunday and said, hey, can you help me? I said, hey, I gave him my ink pen with the phone number. I said, give us a call tomorrow. Lori jumped on it and we were able to help that person. And so that, so I'm glad to see the little bit of progress that we're making, this new CORE program that the director has brought out. So,
all right, so online?
Yes. So now
it's a big change.
That's exactly right. I mean, we're in the 21st century. I own a t-shirt shop. You can order a t-shirt online, but you can't renew your license. Come on, people. This is, you know, the 21st century. And so now you can do that. They've picked, actually there's several different,
I counted three.
Yes, sir. There's three that they've started with. And that's a clinical psychologist, nail technicians, and music therapists. And so that is just a sampling is what they're doing with those three. There are others that are out there also. Also, there are 300 different licenses that the state of Illinois issues, and there's over 1.2 million people that have purchased license through the state. So this is a big deal, and it's been slower than a 7-year itch. The computer system is antiquated, so we've been working getting that updated.
All right.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Now, first off, when I first read it and the professions, I was a little disheartened.
I think you were too.
So I tried to be an optimist, and
right.
My optimist side, which takes me a while to find sometimes, told me, said, look, this is a test drive on the idea.
That's right.
They want to use these for a test drive. You can see why. That way, you know, we're not talking brain surgeon or something
right.
like that, right? And that when with these three are online, that maybe that'll free up some hands and eyes when it comes to the other programs so that there'd be less of those they'd have to deal with and they'd be able to speed those up. That's my optimistic side.
That is correct, because I thought the same thing. I thought, why in the world we've gone from psychologists? Okay, that makes sense. And then nail technicians, really? I mean, that's an important, but I mean, and then
it's
music
important
therapists.
If you want to pay the rent.
Well, that's exactly right. So this is a sampling, and so there's a 5-year roll-in program to get all of it going, not just for these three, but for the whole program, and there's 6 different points. And so I'm glad to see this because, I mean, when I first got involved – actually, you were the first one I told about it. We had someone call, actually emailed us, and I read the email, and I forwarded it to Leader McCombie, and I forwarded the email to the governor's office, and that's when we got something started, because someone had been waiting, I think, 8 months at the time for that doesn't work. And so, I mean, common sense, come on, this is people that are trying to, like you said, pay their rent,
yeah,
and they can't get their license renewed or a license.
Or you may be needed at one of the area hospitals. You've got a specialty.
I mean, absolutely.
And we want to draw people here, and if we, the first thing we do is we throw up a block.
Right.
There's an aversion towards ever coming. And I've talked to people,
sure,
all physicians, 100% upset with this program. One... I was a geriatric physician. We don't really have many of those here.
Right.
The last I heard, none. But worked to work at the VA, and he was the one that was most frustrated with what is wrong with, this is the way that he really ticked me off, what's wrong with your state? That's right. The way he put it to me. Well, you know.
No, he had a point. And so, you know, we work very closely with SIH. Clark Geyer, he gives me a call and says, hey, Dave, can you help us with this person? We're trying to get them into Southern Illinois. And we're working hard, and I'm glad to see that we're making some progress here on this.
You know, even now people texting is like, yeah, their computer systems have been very much outdated for a long time.
Absolutely.
So seeing some of those messages coming in now, because this does matter for a long list of people. Now,
right,
another issue. There had been a recent public meeting involving deer and destruction in the agriculture world,
right,
and I mean people were, you had to move locations for the crowd that was coming in. You've had a smaller meeting since then,
yes, sir,
with higher officials. Any movement here, and what is it that people, I mean, we're talking about pumpkins and corn and grapes for,
right,
wine, all that, has,
sure,
there been any movement on this?
Yep. So I got together a meeting at Fry Farms. I found out with this new remap that actually Fry Farms, who has the contract for watermelons and pumpkins for Walmart for the United States, this is a big operation. I found out they're in my new district, and so I got to talking to them, kind of find out a little bit about the program, and that's when I found out about the deer and the pumpkin decimation. But so we had that first meeting. We thought we were going to have 15, 20 people. We have about 150. So then the second meeting, I put together with, at Fry Farms, Ted Fry and Senator Bryant, myself, John Howard from the Farm Bureau, and the Director of Agriculture, Jerry Costello, and the Director of IDNR, which is Natalie Phelps Finney. And so we got together, and so, you know, rather than run resolutions or legislation from us as far as the House and the Senate, what Jerry and Natalie both ask us to do is to allow them to work on this in their offices and see if they can't come up with some administrative rules to address these problems. We came up with some really great ideas, and we're going to let them run with it. But there's
All right. I'm a dumb country boy, yep, and my first thought is, we'll shoot them.
That's exactly right. And here's the other thing. There's a thing called, I wrote it down, so I don't want to forget, hunger for...
Well, that program program is starting now with this deer, where hunters can turn over their deer.
Harvest for Hunger. It's called Harvest for Hunger.
Yeah.
And so...
That's the one of the University of Illinois Extension?
Exactly right.
I reached out to them to have them on the air.
Yeah. And so, and also these nuisance tags that the farmers can get, those are in the spring, but the problem is then you can't do anything. Senator Bryant's talked about it. The problem is then you can't do anything with the meat. So we're working, and again, letting Jerry and Natalie do their thing, is to possibly get some changes made where they would be able to do that in the fall, so then you could donate that meat to help that Harvest for Hunger deal. And so, and which is a great program. Talked about some things about possibly, you know, you take a doe before you take a buck, and possibly adding some length in the different hunting seasons. And so, again, we're going to let them do their thing, because that's what they asked. They said, hey, let us work with our offices, talk to our staff. And so, and then, you know, raccoons is a whole nother problem, but we were mainly talking about deer and those concerns. So it was a really good meeting. It was good to have all of us together sitting at the table and talked about some good common sense things.
So you heard the story this morning about Illinois' budget deficit, $3 billion
plus? Yeah. You know, I don't know if it was you that asked me the first time when I first got elected, said, hey, you know, what have you learned about the state of Illinois? I said two things. One is, I've never heard women use the F word more than time in my entire life.
Okay.
And the second thing was, that was back when we didn't have a budget. People stood up on the House floor, Tom, advocating for new programs, and we were $17 billion behind in paying bills, and they were advocating for new programs to spend new money. And that's how it's been all along. So here we go. We're a sanctuary state, sanctuary city in Chicago. Now all of a sudden, hey, you know what? We can't afford to fund these people that have come across the border, and we're giving them everything under the sun. Now all of a sudden they've figured out, oh, we can't afford this. And so how do you pay the bills if you don't have enough revenue? So then, you know, veto session's coming up, and depending on what happens in the election tonight, we'll see if we're going to have a veto session or if we're not, and then we're going to go to the lame duck, and we're going to just find out what the other side of the aisle, what their plans are. And I know what it is. They want to increase revenue, which you know what that means, because they want to fund the programs they have now that they can't fund, and they want to create new ones. It makes no sense at all. None.
I looked up the, since so many people have texted about this, even now this morning, the Illinois Comptroller's website, they have a state expenditure transparency portal for asylum seekers, $129,080,724.68, according to the Comptroller's office. That doesn't count Chicago. I think that is since 22 or 23. If you wonder where some of the money's gone, and, I mean, that's an it, but it's weird because you were saying, talking about this, and my first response is, we told you so.
Exactly right.
I hate to be a 12-year-old, but...
That's exactly right. But then when we stand up on the House floor or in committees or on the Senate floor or in the Senate committees, then they say, you know, they just start using terrible adjectives about
you're
us.
You're racist.
That exactly right. And yeah. No, we're not those things. We're standing up for the state of Illinois. I've told you also the time that I've been in office, two things when I talk to people. I want to give people a reason to stay in Illinois and a reason to come to Illinois. And we keep slapping people in the face and giving them reasons to leave. And it's got to stop. It's got to stop somewhere. And you can't, you got to pay the bills.
Well, you know, which brings us to that ballot question today. You know, 3% million. And, you know, it'd be only
kick
solely
out the job
for
creators?
Property taxes. Yeah.
You're going to kick out the job creators.
Massachusetts did it, and it didn't work out well for them. So that's one of the questions on the ballot today, one of the three questions on the ballot. So this budget deficit's only the beginning here. It's a little over $3 billion. But you just said something that struck my attention is, you know, I want to give people a reason to come to Southern Illinois. Well, in your district, one of the biggest reasons to come to Illinois and Southern Illinois is Red Lake.
Absolutely.
You know, Gary, I think, is working out good up there. I know he's been publishing a lot of material. I've heard and learned more about Red Lake since Gary was the director than I ever have in my life.
He's a great advocate for Southern Illinois and for the Red Lake Conservancy District in that area. Everywhere I go, people still ask about the Red Lake Resort. Hey, what's going on? And also, when I tell people where I'm from, they say, oh, we hunt and fish in Southern Illinois. In fact, I was at the football game in New Berlin Saturday watching my grandson play. And there was a guy said, oh, yeah, I said, we come down and we crappie fish at Red Lake. Another, I was at the concession stand, talked to a lady there. She said, oh, yeah, we come down and hunt. And so, I mean, this area, it's important for our economy. And Gary's doing a good job at the Conservancy District with all the programs they have there, the golf course, the water, and the cabins and all the different things. And things are going well there.
What's next?
So
resort.
Yeah. So on the resort, the they're working on the parking lots and all those kinds of things. The bids have went out. The bids have come in. They've been honored. And so now construction is actually beginning. So the repairs are started, and we'll actually see something going on there now.
Yeah, I see somebody else texting me this morning saying Chicago's in a $1 billion hole, $600 million shortage in their budget. Mm-hmm. Big push. Can they force the state to help out? Can that be stopped?
Governor Pritzker's not interested. He realizes he's got enough problems with the budget that he's created that, you know, he and Johnson aren't, I don't think they exactly have pizza on Friday night together.
I've had a number of conversations on some pretty high levels in the state of Illinois, and I'll be diplomatic. A noted reluctance to assist, and leave it at that.
There you go.
Because that issue is going to, well, blow up in somebody's face.
Right.
Now, there was something else that I've learned. I did this series with executive businesses, earlier this year, late last year. And one of the things that showed up, Gilster Mary Lee, one of the locations in Carbondale, was the use of people freshly released from prison to needed in the workforce.
Right.
You know, I mean, I had a conversation with John Moreland at McDonald's, and he was very blank to me, very blunt.
Right.
We are hiring people today that we would not consider.
I heard him say that
ago.
I was listening in that morning.
You heard it, right?
I heard it, yes, sir.
You know how it is. It catches your attention. And,
yes.
And things that where you really get through, through the funnel. And CDLs and prisoners. I didn't realize there was a program like that in Southern Illinois.
Yeah, so I appreciate you asking about this. So actually, you know, White County is a new part of my district. And I got a phone call a few months ago from the Secretary of State's office saying, hey, we're going to close the DMV office in Carmi. And my first answer was, what? And so I immediately went to work. We're able to keep that open. They did move the facility from where it was at to now it's on the campus of the Southeastern Illinois College campus in Carmi. So, well, you know what the Southeastern Illinois College happens to have in Carmi? They have a CDL program.
They got a truck.
That's exactly right. So now on campus, you can come and do your DMV stuff and find out about the college also. And so Dr. Karen Weiss doing a fantastic job, the new president there. We've been in conversations on almost a weekly basis on different projects. So the DMV office got moved, is open. Southeastern Illinois College provides this CDL program. But when she was looking across what's going on in the United States, she found a program that she was able to bid on, and she's the only college in the United States that has a contract with the Federal Department of Corrections out of the Marion Federal Penitentiary, where they have a program. There's eight guys that are there that are about to get out, and when they do, they're going to have their CDL license.
The first ones?
That's exactly right.
The first crop of eight.
That's exactly right.
And, of course, everybody thinks, well, a classroom will take about 30 people. Well, it's a little bit different when it comes to this. First off, the availability of the truck, and you can go down the list. There's an expense here that until I talked to Kirk Overstreet recently, who shares that truck.
Right.
They take their students, I think, over to SIC. Insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't realize how many things are involved in this program to make it work. Now, is there, what does an inmate have to do to qualify for
sure.
this?
Sure. So these are guys that are exemplary as far as their behavior. They're actually, they're staying at a, it's called their campers. So actually they've gone from being in the Marion Penitentiary to actually a lower level facility. And they're not called inmates, they're called campers. And so these guys, you asked me a question also that I found the answer that, so what happens, guy gets out, he gets a CDL license. Can he go from Illinois to another state? And the answer to that will depend upon what his
conviction was for.
Well, that's exactly right. And also his probation. Each person's probation program is written up differently. But potentially they would be able to do that. Some may not be able to. But these are guys that are exemplary behavior, and they're excited about in the program, looking to get a job and be a taxpayer, not a burden on us.
Yeah, I'm interested in this program to see how it turns out. I really am, because this is one of the things that we need them. Everybody knows it. And you can win back, you know, you paid your dues. Okay, I was raised, a person served their time in prison. They deserve every chance they can to restart again. And this is a heck of a way to do it. There's a need out there. Maybe the desperation creates an opportunity for people they wouldn't have had otherwise had.
Exactly right, and giving them an opportunity, and so it's an exciting program. It's this is actually completing the first year, and there's a 5-year extension on it. And Dr. Weiss, she's excited about the program, and she's doing a great job and filling a hole.
Well, as I was telling Dave before the air, we were talking, you know, that you talked to the president of SIC, and that I had recently met, and I can tell you the people who donated that land. And would see this opportunity. I was privileged enough to grow up with them and eat their Sunday dinner table. They would be very happy to see their property and their donation used in such a way. I know that for a fact.
That's great.
News Radio WJPF, Illinois State Representative David Severn. David, it's still when you're on the ballot, you still want to see how many people voted for you and how many people drew ballots. True story?
Absolutely. You look at it every time. And, you know, people say, boy, it's a shame you're in campaign season. I said, I'm campaigning every day. not consciously, unconsciously, it's something that you're working. If you're being successful, helping people, caring about people, you're campaigning. I've been doing it all my life. From the time I was born, I got four older brothers, four older sisters. I was campaigning not to get my head knocked off by my brothers, and my sisters were dressing me up like a girl.
See, that's my story too. People go, you know, it's ratings time in radio. You have to try harder.
No.
I don't try any harder than I do any other
that's
time.
Right.
That defies my...
That's every day.
That's against my business plan.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yep.
It's 8:43, State Representative David Severin. Devin, once again, good to see you, buddy.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.